good morning. Welcome to a special edition of Midday here on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten, and today we are presenting live coverage of the inauguration of Minnesota's 38th Governor, Jesse Ventura. Governor-elect Ventura, along with Minnesota's other five constitutional officers, will be sworn in during ceremonies at the state capitol this noon, and will be presenting that ceremony live. We'll also be talking with legislative leaders Roger Moe and Steve Swigum. If all goes as planned, we'll be talking with some former Minnesota governors to get their perspective. They're on hand for today's swearing-in. We hope to talk to some folks who have braved today's sub-zero wind chills to attend the ceremony at the Capitol. All of that coming up during these next couple of hours, live coverage of the inauguration. Now, joining me here in the studio is longtime political reporter, Minnesota Public Radio News editor Mike Mulcahy. Mike, apparently everybody and their brother has come to Minnesota today for the ceremony. Three networks, I'm told, from Japan.
I think they just wanted to come for the good weather today.
Are you surprised?
A little bit, but then again, we've been seeing this ever since the election. The day after the election, we were getting calls from South Africa, and everybody wants to hear about Jesse Ventura. I think part of that is because this is the first time we've seen a Reform Party candidate actually get elected to something. I think another part of it is Jesse Ventura. He's a wrestler. I think the original national, international media was sort of, who is this guy? Can he complete a sentence? Can he put two words together? Or is he just going to grab somebody in a headlock? Then I think the national media discovered once they got him on, he was kind of entertaining. And he is. He's basically an entertainer. He tells a good story, and he's a good soundbite, as they say in the business. So I think that explains a lot of it, too. And I think there's a sort of at the backdrop of all of this is what's been happening in Washington. Mm-hmm. And the way people have been so turned off by that. To see something, a story like this, where not only is it somebody from a third party, but it's somebody who's exciting people and somebody who's good television, and I think that has a lot to do with the amount of attention he's been getting.
Now, sometime after he's sworn in, the governor-elect, then the governor, will be speaking, and inauguration speeches have been all over the map, from the very short thanks a lot, talk to you in a couple of weeks, to fairly extensive remarks. Any idea how long Governor Ventura will be talking?
Very short is the word that we got. He wants to shake hands with people who've come to see him. He also says he's not going to be using notes. He'll just be working off talking points. And so I don't expect him to talk more than 2 or 3 minutes, if that. I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Martin Costi is standing by now at the state capitol. Good morning, Martin.
Morning, Gary. I'm standing here on the floor of the main rotunda. If anybody's been to the state capitol, they know that main circular floor, which under the dome with a vaulted ceiling. It's filling up fast here. There are about 100 or so chairs for the invited guests on the main floor. Those have yet to be occupied, but they're all carefully reserved with yellow post-it notes with names like Arnold Schwarzenegger on them. Also, minor luminaries like the present Governor Carlson, his wife Susan, Senator Paul Wellstone, his wife Sheila, all expected to fill up these chairs real shortly. Jesse Ventura's old Navy SEAL buddies are also lining up there in uniform. They're going to be sitting down in some of the back rows here to see him take office. It's not as crowded as everyone expected to be. I think we can blame the weather for that. This sub-zero wind chill has kept a lot of people home. They're not making anybody line up outside. People are pretty free to wander the hallways away from the main rotunda area. But even just looking up in the second floor, there are non-reporters, non-media people sort of leaning over the edge, looking down. A lot of green Jesse Ventura campaign pins stuck to their clothing. So it's a very festive atmosphere. A lot of expectation in the air, and we're looking ahead to what's coming at 11:50.
Not a lot of solemnity at this point.
No, I think, right now people, for example, are eating power bars by the fistful. The power bar company apparently donated 7,000 of these high-energy things. I can't say I find them that agreeable, but, they're good for building up your biceps, and people are eating those, drinking free coffee, and waiting for a good time.
All right, keep us posted, Martin.
All right, Gary.
Martin Costi checking in from the State Capitol Rotunda, where everybody is getting ready for the swearing-in ceremonies, Jesse Ventura being sworn in as 38th or 37th governor of the state of Minnesota. Mike, I guess the question hinges on whether you count Rudy Perpich twice.
Right. He was the only governor to serve non-consecutive terms, and so the state does count him twice. Jesse Ventura will be the 37th person to hold the office of governor. And you know, Gary, the interesting thing about this is usually the inauguration is a story. It's, you know, pomp and circumstance, and everybody does a story about it, and there's a picture in the front page the next morning. But this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The local TV stations are on the air with it. We're on the air with it. As you mentioned, people from all over the world here to watch this. I wonder if the entire administration is going to be like this. Will we have 4 years of this, or will we be able to get back to our regular work? I don't know.
Well, let's bring in former Minnesota Governor Wendell Anderson, who joins us. Morning, Governor.
How you doing?
Just fine. Mike Mulcahy raises the issue, is this just the start of 4 years of media madcap, or do you think things will settle down fairly quickly?
I think things will settle down very, very quickly and get back to normal, but it's very, very exciting and far different from the inaugural I remember.
Can you compare what your situation was like?
Well, the basic difference I see is today I couldn't find a parking spot. I only had four quarters, so my big hope is that my car does not get towed away.
You get special gubernatorial dispensation, don't you, sir?
None that I've noticed. I don't think anybody so far from the media has shown any interest in me, and I'm delighted that you called.
Now, is there anything special you're going to be listening for today? Should we read anything into what the governor-elect, then the governor, has to say later today?
That's a tough question. I don't know what we're going to hear today. So far, I must say, I'm very pleased with the appointments he's made. Mr. Weaver, a friend of mine, his father, Charlie Weaver, was somebody that I appointed. Well, I'm a Democrat. He was a Republican. I put him on the Metropolitan Council. I think that's really a good sign. I don't know what the reaction will be to the speech, but I'm encouraged by his appointments, and I must say I am very impressed by the fact he was able to get thousands of people to vote that never turned out before. I couldn't do that. Republicans can't do it. He's to be congratulated for that.
As you know, Governor Anderson, Jesse Ventura has received some criticism for suggesting that he might be doing other things other than being governor while he's governor, making movies and the like. Can he squeeze all that into one day, you suppose?
Let me tell you, look, being governor is a full-time job. He soon will find that out, and I think he will adjust to that. He's a quick learner. I love being governor. It was 24 hours a day. You're always on call. It's exciting, it's thrilling, it's satisfying, and it doesn't last very long. I fully expect that he will discover that and adjust his thinking accordingly.
At what point, sir, does it hit you that I, in fact, am the governor during that ceremony?
I guess I realized it the day after the election. You suddenly have highway patrol, security, and so forth. So the actual inaugural was kind of a relief for me, because from the day after the election through the inaugural and, frankly, the budget address, it was 7 days a week. I loved it, but I didn't take a day off during that period of time. And so it was kind of nice to get through it. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the frosting. It was the culmination of some hard work.
Do you get nervous before an event like this?
Yes, I had many, many butterflies, but I must tell you, they were flying in formation. I get butterflies when I play old-timers hockey on Sunday afternoon at 4:30, and there are no fans. But I think that you can't be at your best unless you get excited and nervous.
Thanks so much for joining us, Governor Anderson.
Thanks for paying some attention.
Former Minnesota Governor Wendell Anderson joining us from the state capitol, one of many, many dignitaries. Mike Mulcahy on hand today for the swearing-in of Jesse Ventura.
And you know, Governor Anderson mentioned some of the appointments that Jesse Ventura has made already, and they are interesting in that they're pretty mainstream appointments. Charlie Weaver in the Public Safety Department, three commissioners held over from the Carlson administration, John Woodley even from the from the as the communications director who used to work for the Ramsey County Attorney. These are pretty mainstream people who could work for any administration. In fact, if Norm Coleman had been elected governor, I think you would have seen Charlie Weaver in his administration. So anybody who's really expecting Jesse Ventura to get in there and change government overnight, I think will be a little bit surprised. At least what we've seen so far, he's pretty much in the mainstream, and he's even been talking more like a mainstream politician in the last couple of weeks since the election.
Senator Roger Moe is with us from our State Capitol Bureau. Morning, Senator.
Good morning, Gary. Nice to be with you.
Glad you could join us. All the hoopla at the Capitol, fairly unusual for a gubernatorial inauguration.
Yes, I think that's an understatement. not quite.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I've not seen anything that's quite to this level. Obviously, there's a great deal of entertainment factor in all of this.
That brings up the question of the intersection of politics and entertainment. Is that something we should be concerned about or revel in?
Well, I think you're about to live with it for a while. So, and to a certain degree, politics has always been entertainment, I suspect. Just different people do it better and differently than others. Certainly, we'll have to see how this person who has an entertainment background does. And I think he's a good entertainer. I think he knows the audience. I think he's smart. And it'll be interesting to see how he is able to govern and lead over these next 4 years.
Are you pretty encouraged by the way the transition has gone so far?
Oh, I think everybody's giving the new administration a long honeymoon. And, you know, there not a lot of decisions have been made, but I think they've been systematic and I think sound. So, but again, all of this has to end eventually. And the difficult task of leading and governing the state, laying out the budget, proposing, you know, where we bring this state in, as we move into the new century, is going to be that is a daunting task, and it will eventually dawn on them that that's what people of this state expect.
Senator, this is Mike Mulcahy. When do you expect that honeymoon to end? Is it when Jesse Ventura drops his budget on your desk?
Well, let me just say, with the pat hand that's been dealt financially to the administration, I don't see how you can possibly screw it up, to be perfectly honest. The economic situation of the state is in very, very good condition. I just don't see how you can present anything but a budget that is going to be widely accepted by both the House and the Senate, because it's going to be able to provide both the tax cuts as well as I hope recognize the immediate issues of this and the immediate concerns that the people of the state have.
But he's going to have to make some decisions. I mean, how much money do you give to higher education? How much to K-12? Isn't that when you start sort of laying out who your friends are and who your enemies are?
Sure, but as I said, I don't see where, with the resources that are available, that you can make too many enemies with with this hand, because it is it's a lot better than we expected. And so I expect that that's not going to be a difficult task. As I understand, they're going to submit the budget earlier than what's required by law.
Senator Roger Moe is with us. He joins us from our State Capitol Bureau. This is live coverage of the inauguration of Jesse Ventura and, of course, five other constitutional officers also being sworn in. Unlike most such events, this one is attracting national, yea, international attention because of the background of our governor-elect, Jesse Ventura. As the crowd gathers at the rotunda, music is being provided by the Minnesota State Band, the Minnesota Department of Transportation Choir. A little later on, we're going to hear from Gary Hines of the Sounds of Blackness, and he'll be singing. We'll have swearing-in ceremonies. We'll have some speeches as well, all coming up today live here on our midday program. Laura McCollum joins us now, and Laura, you are with one of the faithful who've come out for today's ceremony.
Yes, and Gary, you've hit the perfect time. The band is just starting up again, so it'll be a little hard to hear you. But I'm here with Neil Luth. He's from Minneapolis. He's 25 years old. He's a plumber, and I would say kind of a typical Ventura voter.
Yeah, I would think so. I think our generation really got the vote out and basically got him elected to the office.
And you've been here since 9 o'clock. What inspired you to come here and wait for 3 hours to see him sworn in?
Well, I had the day off, and I'd really like to see history as it happens. This is exciting. Ventura, it's really exciting. I really wanted to be here for it, and I had the time, so I thought I'd get here early and have a good view.
You said he's one of the first politicians that got you fired up. What was it about him?
Just his honesty. His answers were great in his debates. I think that he just really got his point across and actually embarrassed the other two candidates. And I think that really got me motivated enough to get out and vote and just, make my vote count.
How have you passed the time since you got here at 9 o'clock?
Just sitting around, doing a lot of people watching, trying to pick out, all the faces that I know from the media. And, they're just as handsome on TV as they are in person, so...
Are you waiting to see Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I didn't even know he was coming, but I guess, yeah, if he's here, I guess I'll have to say, yeah, I've seen Arnold.
Gary, that was Neil Luth of Minneapolis, one of the, I'd say maybe 75 to 100 people waiting around on the second floor of the rotunda, where you have a pretty good view of where Jesse will be sworn in.
Quite a few people there, Laura, regular people, if you will.
Yeah, I would say it's about half and half. I mean, there's a few regular folks, and then there's a lot of media. We're kind of outnumbering the regular folks.
Thanks, Laura. Check
Thanks,
in.
Gary.
Keep us posted. Laura McCollum at the State Capitol Rotunda, where preparations are nearly complete now to begin the official swearing in of Governor-elect Jesse Ventura. Senator Moe, do you think things are going to go well working that tripartisan arrangement we've heard so much about now? DFL in control of the Senate, Republicans control of the House, and of course reform Governor Ventura?
I hope so, but I don't know. Nobody knows. All of us are embarking on this new exciting adventure, and I think all of us want it to work. So I guess my answer is, I hope it works, but nobody will know for sure until we get into it and as we work our way through. I think Mike's analysis at the start of this, I think, leads us to a desire to make it work, primarily because of what's happening in Washington, that uncivil, mean-spirited debate that's been going on out there for the past year, I think, has soured the public's impression of politicians in general. And that, I believe, is kind of hanging over us here. We want to leave the impression in reality that we can work together and get the work done that the people of Minnesota want us to do.
During the campaign, Jesse Ventura left the impression of the governor working as a kind of referee more than a policy initiator, a person who kind of stood above the fray, and then you folks would work out the legislation and he'd either sign it or veto it. Can that work in practice, or do you see him becoming more actively involved than he outlined during the campaign?
It can't work in practice for the main portions of the budget, the main items. The administration has to be engaged. They have to be a part of that process. They have to be at the table. So that's good rhetoric, but in reality, it just is not going to work unless they're at the table. And that's part of being governor. You not only govern, you lead. And so particularly as we start in right away on these tax issues, the administration is going to have to be engaged from the get-go.
You know, Senator, usually in these the first year of the session, it starts kind of slow. You have a lot of new House members coming in who have to be brought up to speed on a lot of issues. I guess this time, too, the governor has to be brought up to speed on a lot of issues. There's been some talk that this session might go faster than a typical session. Do you think that will happen, or do you think it'll last until May?
Well, Mike, every session, I believe, you and I, we have talked about the possibility that we're going to get done early. We never do. So the reality of the fact is that the deadline is May 17th, and more than likely we will get done on May 17th. That's just the nature of this process. There are some very big issues that have to be confronted and dealt with. We've had a lot of discussion about tax cuts and tax policy in general, the tobacco settlement, housing initiatives, a whole host of workforce and education initiatives. There's a lot of work to be done. The people of the state expect it to be done. So, and it's going to take, I believe, right up until May 17th to get that done.
You have been doing this a long time, and you are a master at negotiating the ends of these sessions. Do you expect it to be harder? Are you in a better position because Jesse Ventura has never done it before?
Oh, I wouldn't look at it that way. I believe that he will be a very good negotiator, a very skilled negotiator, because he, I think, has fairly direct idea of what it is he wants. I think the part that goes along with that, of course, is that in a process, it's always nice to know what you don't want, but you also have to know what you want in a give and take process like the legislature. And it complicates it a little bit, knowing that you now have a triangulated form of government, and there may very well be three different sets of agendas, but then again, there may not be. There may be two sides of those of the triangle may agree on a lot of different issues. It's just going to be a different two sides. That may complicate it a little bit, but I think in the final analysis, everybody will be working hard and doing their level best to try to make it work.
Senator, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Good talking with you. Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe joining us from the state capitol. We are broadcasting live from the capitol today. The swearing-in ceremonies scheduled to begin officially at noon today. All six constitutional officers will be sworn in, the Attorney General, State Treasurer, State Auditor, Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, and then, of course, Jesse Ventura will be sworn in as the next governor, the new governor of the state of Minnesota. And we will have live coverage of the entire ceremony here. Martin Costi standing by now at the state capitol with Diane Goldman, who's the head of the Reform Party. Martin?
Yeah, Gary. Diane Goldman is here with me, as you said, the state chair of the Minnesota Reform Party. Also joining us is Russell Purdy, who's the national chairman of the Reform Party. Let me start with you, Ms. Goldman. The sense that Jesse Ventura is more a former pro wrestler and a former actor than he is a Reform Party candidate seems to kind of pervade the national media coverage of this. Is the Reform Party element being slighted here?
No, not at all. The Reform Party doesn't feel slighted at all. Governor Ventura ran as a Reform Party candidate. When he appeared in the debates and in the papers, he was always identified as a Reform Party candidate. He is very grateful to the Reform Party for the support that we were able to provide for him during the campaign.
I remember right after the election, you were talking to us in the Capitol Press here about how you're hoping to translate this into more party building now, get your database going, get some people you can mail things out to, maybe get them out to caucuses. Since the election, now we've had a couple months, what has the cause and effect been of this election?
Basically, my workload has increased about 300%. I'm working night and day to organize the party. We've got a big Super Bowl fundraiser that's going to be open to the public at the end of January. That's going to be a big party building event and fundraising event for the party.
Let me move here to Mr. Burney. You're Russell Burney's chairman, national chairman of the Reform Party, correct?
Yes.
What does this day here, this ceremony being broadcast nationally, internationally, do for you and your job now?
This elevates the Reform Party immensely. It's a great inspiration to good citizens all across the country that if they have the opportunity to present their views directly to the voters, if they're not shut out by sponsors of debates and they can talk directly to the voters, that the voters will respond. Minnesota had a 63% voter turnout as opposed to the nation, where you only had a choice between bad and worse. Any of these other races, you only had a 38% turnout. So Jesse inspired thousands and thousands of people to become re-engaged in American politics, sense of hope for change, politics as usual. He's a pathfinder, leading the way for great candidates all across the country to come forward and offer to serve their state, their community, their country.
Would you have, if you could have chosen your ideal first candidate to make it big on the national scene, would you have chosen someone with such an obvious sort of showbiz angle to him? Is this the ideal scenario for your party building?
I don't know if I ever would have picked bedtime for Bonzo style Ronald Reagan, Fred Thompson, Ted Grandy from Love Boat, or Ed Jones from Dukes of Hazzard, or professional athletes like Jack Kemp, Jerry Ford, Bill Bradley of New Jersey. We have the combination of the best of all of them. We're so proud of Jesse coming forward, and he has run on the issues, and he's spoken directly with the voters.
It sounds like you've been asked that question before.
No, it's the first time it came up.
Because I would assume that you're getting a lot of national press now, too. Do you get a lot of more interest in the Reform Party nationally?
Yes. Jesse has helped the development of this emerging party, the Reform Party, immensely to move forward. We have to build at the local level by running municipal, county, state legislative candidates. When somebody comes along who's captured the attention of the media, not just on these stations, but all across the world today, he's brought a lot of attention and recognition and energy to the Reform Party.
What does this do to your year 2000 presidential candidate? Who does it become? How is it more apparent who it's going to be now because Jesse Ventura did so well here?
Unlike the Republicans and Democrats, we believe that governance should take place between elections. They should not be campaigning for the 2000 year election now. We have a nominating process in place. I think a lot of good citizens, as a result of Jesse's victory here in Minnesota, showing that people will get over that wasted vote baloney that the Republicans and Democrats put out to try and protect their privileges and power and their perks, will step forward in the next few years. But our campaign is not going to begin until well into 2000. We want to see governance go on between elections, not year-round campaigns.
All right, thank you. That was Russell Verney, National Chair of the Reform Party, and Diane Goldman, State Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Back to you, Gary.
Thanks very much. Martin Costi checking in from the Minnesota State Capitol Rotunda, where everything is in place just about now for the swearing-in of Governor-elect, soon-to-be Governor Jesse Ventura. Still to come, as we await the beginning of the official ceremonies, a conversation with House Speaker, the new House Speaker, Steve Swigum, and we'll have much, much more from the folks who have gathered at the Capitol Rotunda. We're expecting to talk with, probably we'll get to former Governor Al Quie. Expect to hear from him shortly, but let's catch up on some other news headlines. Joining us now, Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Good morning, Gary. Thousands of travelers remain stranded at airports in the Midwest, and hundreds of schools are closed today due to winter weather. At least 48 deaths are blamed on the winter storm that socked the Midwest before moving to the Atlantic coast. Most of the deaths came from heart attacks as people shoveled snow. Buffalo, New York has been nearly paralyzed today by heavy snow and blizzard conditions. The word from the White House is that President Clinton still plans to deliver his State of the Union address as scheduled later this month. Clinton's press secretary, Joe Lockhart, says the president is planning to deliver the speech January 19th, and so far there's been no request for a delay. Senators from both parties say the president should not give the speech if an impeachment trial is going on. The Senate gets back to work Wednesday. Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell says GOP senators will meet Thursday to consider a bipartisan plan that could end the process within 4 days. A source says Elizabeth Dole will hint about her future plans in her speech to the Red Cross today. The wife of the 1996 Republican presidential nominee, Bob Dole, is expected to announce she's stepping down as the head of the Red Cross. Her supporters are hoping she'll run for the presidency herself, but they don't expect her to decide until later this year. In regional news, Jesse Ventura says he'll be thinking of his parents, who are buried at Fort Snelling, when he takes the oath of office today as Minnesota's next governor. Ventura's swearing-in ceremony gets underway in about 20 minutes. Ventura will be Minnesota's first Reform Party governor. As many as 5,000 people are expected to attend today's ceremony. The National Weather Service reports 8.2 inches of snow fell in the Twin Cities metro area this weekend. That's the most snow since the winter of 1996-97. The storm that began New Year's Day played a role in accidents that killed 4 people. The forecast for the state of Minnesota today calls for partly cloudy skies statewide, cold conditions. Highs will range from the single digits below zero in the west to around 5 above in the southeast. Tonight, increasing clouds statewide. There is a chance of light snow tonight in the west, with lows ranging from 5 to 15 below zero. Around the region at this hour, mostly sunny skies reported in. Duluth reports sunshine 9 below zero, a wind chill index of minus 29. Rochester, sunshine 12 below zero, a wind chill index of minus 47. And in the Twin Cities, mostly sunny 8 below zero, a wind chill index of minus 25. And Gary, that's a news update.
Thank you, Greta. News from Greta Cunningham. Live coverage continuing here during our midday broadcast today. Live coverage from the Minnesota State Capitol, where preparations are continuing for today's official swearing-in of Governor Jesse Ventura. As you heard, thousands of people were expected to show up for today's ceremony, and a goodly crowd is on hand, although because of the severe weather, apparently people aren't going to be asked to stand in line outside. Mike Mulcahy is with us, and that's probably good. It'd be an awful way to start a new administration with people suffering from frostbite.
I think it shows, Gary, whatever you think of the election, Minnesotans have good common sense.
Former Minnesota Governor Al Quie joins us now from the state capitol. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
Good to talk with you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too.
How does this compare with your inauguration, sir?
Well, it was cold then, too. but I always spent more time inside on my inauguration than this one, since I went down to the CAR 11 tent. That's a kind of a brisk walk.
Are you surprised at all the hoopla?
No, I'm not, because there was an awful lot of hoopla over the Minnesota massacre when the Republicans elected two senators and a governor back in 1978, but not as much as now, because Jesse is an entertainer. He has the ability to say things in just a few words and are sensational enough to capture people's attention. So he's special. He's different.
Do you suppose from now on folks in political life will have to be entertainers?
Well, an awful lot that is the case in campaigns and so forth. Those who are able to handle television well, I think, function well. And we go back to Ronald Reagan. That's one of his fortes, too, is that he was able to do as an example. So it does help. Colorless people who take all their time to try to explain what they're saying are going to have a difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Have you been at all concerned about the governor-elect's interest in doing other things other than being governor while he's governor, making movies and the like? Does that bother you at all?
It does. I don't think there's time to be doing much other than be governor, but he's a person who charts his own way, and how he handles that in a way that is sort of like, not only undoubtedly he will do it in an ethical way, but that always has the appearance of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Anything special that people should be listening for during his little his remarks today? We don't know how short they're going to be.
I don't know, and I don't think people will remember much what is said at inaugural remarks. Usually that's the same thing as your high school or college graduation. You can't remember what in the world the person ever said at that time. You're too interested in other things. His State of the State message is what we'll remember, and his first budget message. That will, I think, be repeated over and over again.
When you were elected governor in 1978, of course, you had served in the Congress for many, many years.
That's right.
So this wasn't, I suppose... Or was it? Was it a real big deal? Sometime during the ceremony, did you think to yourself, my Lord, I'm the governor?
It happened to me a few days before, on the 1st of January, when I was sworn in privately by Justice Walter Rogoszewski, so that I could take office officially as soon as I became the governor because of the change in the year. That to me was more awesome, as I laid my hand on the Bible privately in that way rather than a public one. When I was inaugurated before everybody else.
How long should Jesse Ventura expect this honeymoon to last?
Till he makes his first blooper. and then I think he'll handle that well, too, because he has a way of admitting when he does things that weren't exactly right and recovers from it. So I think he'll be pretty good at that.
Thanks so much for joining us, Governor.
Okay, Gary.
Former Minnesota Governor Al Quie joining us from the state capitol, where swearing-in ceremonies are being held today. All six constitutional officers will be sworn in, including the new governor of the state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. Mike Mulcahy, a longtime Minnesota Public Radio political reporter, and now news editor is with me here in the studio, and joining us from the State Capitol Bureau is the new Speaker of the Minnesota House, Steve Swigum, who I guess officially gets sworn in tomorrow, so we have to call you, what, Speaker-elect, Mr. Swigum?
Hi, Gary. Hi, Mike. Speaker-designate,
Gary. Designate, yes.
And
right.
If I don't goof up between now and tomorrow in these 24 hours, it'll probably happen.
Well, given what's been happening in Washington, we better keep an eye on it.
And you know I'm very susceptible to goofing up, Mike.
How would you rate the governor-elect's performance thus far in terms of his transition, in terms of the way he's dealt with the input from various people and so on? Is he doing well?
Well, he certainly surrounded himself with some good people. I would say the timing, you know, that you would have liked to see the transition happen a little quicker than it actually is, from my standpoint, because the session starts tomorrow, Gary, and we ought to be ready to go from the get-go. But I certainly understand the demands upon Governor-elect Ventura's time. If you only look at the rotunda right now and you see the number of reporters, the number of press persons, the number of cameras there, you can just imagine the requests that have come before Governor-elect Ventura.
Go ahead, Mike.
Representative Swigum, there are 21 new House members coming in, too, because of the elections. Won't it take a while for this session to get up and rolling? I mean, don't people have to get a lot of background briefings to really know what they're dealing with in the state budget?
Well, that certainly we'll do that, Mike. But where in the past you would probably say that it has been, you know, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks of agenda briefings of the various departments coming before us with their budgets from the past years. I don't expect that to happen this year. We are ready to go, at least in the House, and you can expect major legislation issues to be heard in committee and on the House floor by the end of January.
Do you see any big issues out there where you and the governor are going to split?
I think just to the opposite, Gary. What we're going to try to do is focus in on the things that we agree upon rather than the things that we might disagree upon. We can agree upon the tax rebate to the people of the state of Minnesota. There's some question as to the timing that you're probably aware of. We can agree upon the education reforms, discipline, reducing some class sizes. We can agree upon the governmental reforms that Jesse has spoken about. And I would like to center in and focus in on those things that we agree upon and make that the agenda for judging our product.
So you think things will work fairly smoothly then?
Boy, Gary, I'm really optimistic. I'll tell you, you know, when you look at the balance that Minnesota has in its government right now, you know, Minnesotans are known as Minnesota Fair, Minnesota Balanced, and right now we have about as much balance in our life, at least in our public life, as you can possibly bring. And I think it means more openness. It means more balance in the final product and the decisions that are made. It means that everybody's going to have a feeling that they should be able to have their agenda heard, and I think that's kind of wonderful.
How big of a fight will there be over the tobacco settlement money? Jesse Ventura has said he thinks some of that money should be dedicated to anti-smoking programs. I know the Republicans in the House would probably just as soon include that in any kind of a tax rebate. Do you think that'll be a big fight?
Well, certainly it'll be one of the focuses of the tax area and the spending area as to what to do with the tobacco settlement that comes to Minnesota. I, from our standpoint, we certainly want it given back to the taxpayers, to the working families of the state of Minnesota. A couple things to that. First of all, the settlement provided $202 million, which we are fine with, $202 million for cessation and for tobacco research. Before we go ahead and spend millions and millions or hundreds of millions, $650 million more, we ought to be able to at least have some results, know how that first $202 million be spent. And then secondly, Gary, you know, if you go back to the basis of the lawsuit that was brought forward last year by the state of Minnesota and through Attorney General Humphrey, the basis was that Minnesotans had overpaid. And if that be the basis, then the money ought to go back to Minnesotans.
I have to ask you this, Representative Swigum. Have you been at all concerned about Governor-elect's interest in doing things other than being governor? That is to say, making movies and, you know, cooperating on a book and that sort of thing.
Certainly. That brings some focus away, I think, from being governor, from making those gubernatorial decisions, from the time that's involved. In the legislature, Gary, we are citizen part-time legislators. We are supposed to have our jobs out in real life. We're supposed to be able to not make it a professional politician. You know, we're citizen part-time legislators. But when you run for governor, that's a little bit different story. A governor is a full-time individual. At least I would think most people would expect that. And I'm somewhat concerned about the other, I don't know if they're called distractions or interests, which might be coming in to obviously take time away from the governor that he needs to do in making his decisions to govern the state of Minnesota.
Any concern about politics turning into an entertainment form?
Well, maybe it's always been entertainment from some standpoint. You do have to be a little bit of a entertainer to run for politics. I mean, there's a little bit of that that's involved. It's maybe been brought to a different level now with Governor-elect Ventura, but I don't have any concerns about that as long as you end up with good decisions, with good principles and good experience from which you make those decisions from, and that we end up with a product, the product being legislation, that the citizens of the state of Minnesota would endorse.
Speaker-designate Steve Swigum joining us from the State Capitol Bureau up at the Rotunda. Laura McCollum standing by. And Laura, everything in place now for the big ceremony, which is scheduled to begin here shortly?
Yeah, there's certainly an air of anticipation. People are crowding around every possible spot to try to see down to where Jesse's going to be sworn in. I would say there are certainly several hundred people in here, but not the numbers that I would have expected. There's no one waiting around outside, and a couple people came in and said, "Where is everyone? I don't see the 5,000 that they were talking about." I'd say maybe 1,000 in here, and everyone's just clustered close to the rotunda area so they can try to catch a peek of the new governor.
Just to clarify for people who've been thinking about coming up and meeting the governor later today, do they still have to wait outside if they show up, or can they go right into the Capitol? Do you know?
You know, that's a good question. It's not crowded in here, so I would think they'd be able to come right inside. And as you can hear, there's the music. Maybe everything's going to start now.
All right. Keep us posted here. Laura McCollum checking
Thanks,
in
Gary.
From the State Capitol Rotunda. Speaker Swigum, before we say goodbye to you, do you know, will people be able just to come in now since it's so cold, or do they actually have to stand outside? Have you heard?
Well, I was up in the rotunda just a few minutes ago, Gary, and there was room within the Capitol area, certainly room within the hallways and the stairways, the stairwells for people to stand and to observe. To get onto the rotunda floor itself, there was a path and there was security, so they would not be able to go onto into the rotunda itself, but around the hallways there seemed to be ample room.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think this honeymoon will last for Jesse Ventura?
Well, Mike, I would say that honeymoons basically last until you make that first decision. At this time, everybody's expectations are pretty high. You know, we're full of hope. We're full of expectations that the new governor-elect or the new majority in the House, the Republican majority or the Senate Democrats, are going to be agreeing with us, seeing our agenda. I think when you start making that first decision, substantial decision now, mm-hmm. that might be involving the tax cut, the size of the tax cut, the timing of it, whatever. When you start making a decision, all of a sudden you find out that the honeymoon leaves.
Mr. Swigum, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck on the new session.
Thanks, Gary.
Really appreciate
Anytime.
It. Good talking with you. House Speaker-designate Steve Swigum joining us from our State Capitol Bureau. The Minnesota legislative session officially begins tomorrow. Mr. Swigum will be sworn in tomorrow as the new House Speaker. Republicans now controlling the Minnesota House. The DFL, of course, retaining control of the state Senate. We were talking earlier with Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe. And we're going to have a Reform Party governor. First time, certainly in our lifetimes, Mike Mulcahy, when we've had a three-headed government.
You know, but the other important thing to remember, Gary, is that the margin in the House, Republicans versus Democrats, is only 71-63, so it's pretty close there. Last 2 years, it was 70 Democrats to 63 Republicans. So, yes, the Republicans control the House, but the margin is so close, it makes it hard to get work done unless everybody stays home and votes with the Speaker. Mm-hmm. And so
there could be some mischief in the House there, and we'll see exactly how, at least the Republicans had the governor last time when they were in that narrow minority in the House. Now the governor's a free agent, and everybody's a free agent. If you're one of those Republicans who make the difference in a crucial vote like a tax bill, an education spending bill, suddenly your vote becomes very important when it's 71-63, when the margin is that narrow. And so you might see a little bit of mischief on the House floor, some Republicans holding back their votes until Steve Swigum agrees to hear their bill or agrees to bring their bill up on the floor, whatever. And so that's, I think, a pressure point to watch as this goes on. Roger Moe said with a budget surplus like this, it's hard to screw things up, but, you know, once they start working, anything can happen. So,
do you think Jesse Ventura will have any hope of sustaining any of his vetoes?
I guess it depends on how he does it and what he vetoes. I mean, if he can go out onto the Capitol steps and 5,000 people show up to cheer him on when he vetoes a bill, I'd say he has a pretty good chance. If it's a bill where he might not be too clear, you know, if the Republicans want to give it all back and Jesse says no when he ran in his campaign as saying he was the candidate who would give it all back, then again, it becomes more interesting. So I guess the simple answer is nobody knows. This has never been done before. There's never been a governor who has no members of his party in the legislature. So I guess the sort of the conventional wisdom is there will be these sort of moving alliances from issue to issue, and we'll see what happens. But the other thing to remember, too, is that Jesse Ventura did win the election, and that gets everybody's attention up there. When somebody wins the election, they pay attention. So,
but they've already started pointing, well, they only got a third of the votes.
Well, that's true. but the way Jesse Ventura puts it is if you add his votes to Norm Coleman's votes on the fiscal conservatism side, then it's an overwhelming majority. If you add his votes and Skip Humphrey's votes on the social moderate to liberal side, then you get an overwhelming majority. So that works, I guess, in the big picture, but we'll see what happens on specifics.
Live coverage of the ceremonies at the State Rotunda. And I believe this is Shirley Chase, who is chair of the Ventura Shunk Inaugural Committee.
And help me welcome the escort of our Minnesota constitutional officers.
All right. Well, at this point, now we have the constitutional officers entering the rotunda. We have six folks who are going to be taking the oath of office. One incumbent, State Auditor Judy Dutcher, was reelected. Everybody else is brand new to the job. And we'll hear the swearing-in ceremonies for each of the constitutional officers.
And our Lieutenant Governor and Governor.
Again, that was Shirley Chase. Introducing, still Governor-elect, soon-to-be Governor Jesse Ventura, and Mae Shunk, who's going to be Minnesota's new Lieutenant Governor. St. Paul school teacher, chosen by the Governor-elect for her education expertise. Also to bring some gender balance to the ticket, as I recall.
Okay.
Please remain standing for the national anthem.
A Navy honor guard is conducting the presentation of the colors. The national anthem will be sung by Gary Hines and the Minneapolis-based group Sounds of Blackness. Honor Guard marching toward the rostrum onto the rostrum. Sounds of Blackness performing the national anthem in the State Capitol Rotunda. If you're just tuning in, this is live coverage of the inauguration of the new governor of the state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. The Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court, Kathleen Blatz, will be officiating at today's swearing-in ceremony. And, in fact, we'll be swearing in two of the constitutional officers. The governor-elect himself will be sworn in by the Chief U.S. District Court Judge, Federal Judge, Paul Magnuson. Not sure how long Mr. Ventura will actually be speaking once he's sworn in. This has varied greatly over the years.
You may be seated.
We'll find out in just a few minutes. Here's Shirley Chase once again.
It is now my honor to introduce to you the Chief Justice of our Minnesota Supreme Court, Kathleen Blatz.
Kathleen Blatz is a former Republican legislator from Bloomington. She was appointed to the bench
by
Ernie
Carlson. Good afternoon. Now, it is my great honor and privilege to welcome you to this historic occasion, the inauguration of the 38th governor of the state of Minnesota and the other elected constitutional officers of our state. At this time, I'd like to introduce some of the many distinguished guests that we have with us today. We had hoped to have Elmer Anderson, governor of Minnesota from 1961 to 1963, with us today and his wife, but we received regrets late last night that they were not able to attend. We are, however, delighted to have with us the Honorable Arnie M. Carlson, completing his term. I should say just completing his term as our 37th governor, having first been elected in 1990, reelected in 1994, and with him is his wife, Susan Carlson. We also have with us the Honorable Albert Cui, governor of Minnesota from 1979 to 1983. The Honorable Wendell Anderson, governor of Minnesota from 1970 to 1976. United States Senator Paul Wellstone and his wife Sheila. Joanne Benson, Lieutenant Governor from 1994 to today. Diane Goldman, Minnesota State Chair of the Reform Party. And Russell Verney, Chairman of the National Reform Party.
Mike, no introduction of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We thank all of you for being with us
Not
today.
Yet.
And of course, we want to recognize those for whom this is a very important day as they assume their roles as government leaders for the next 4 years. Attorney General-elect Mike Hatch and his wife Patricia. State Treasurer-elect Carol Johnson. State Auditor Judy Detcher and her husband Edwin. Secretary of State-elect Mary Kiffmeyer and her husband Ralph. Lieutenant Governor-elect May Shunk and her husband William. And Governor-elect Jesse Ventura and his wife Terry. Twenty-five hundred years ago, The Chinese philosopher Confucius said, "Ceremonies are the first thing to be attended to in the practice of government." Today, we are not only here as a matter of ceremony. More importantly, we are here as a part of history, to witness the transfer of power from one office holder to the next, to those who will lead Minnesota into the 21st century. Whether ceremonies are a part of government, such as this event, or whether they're woven into the fiber of our family, cultural, or religious traditions, like weddings, graduations, and holidays, ceremonies give us cause for reflection about the importance of what we're doing and the legacies of those who preceded us. Our state's law requires that elected officials take the oath of office on the first Monday in January following their election. Today marks the seventh time in Minnesota history that a governor has been sworn in on January 4th, and coincidentally, more governors have been inaugurated on this date than any other date in history. The six governors who assumed office on this date make up a representative sample of our state's cultural and political history. They include Governor Knute Nelson, the state's first foreign-born governor, who took office on this date in 1893. Governor John A. Johnson, who was sworn in for his first term on January 4, 1905. He was the first native Minnesotan to become governor, as well as the first to be inaugurated in this Capitol building. Elmer Benson, known for his lengthy and fiery speeches, who became governor on this date in 1937. Like our governor-elect, Benson represented a third party as a candidate of the old Farmer Labor Party. The fifth governor was Wendell Anderson, who took the office as governor on January 4, 1971, and most recently was Governor El Cui, who became governor on the state in 1979. A review of gubernatorial inaugural addresses provides another look at our state's 140-year history, touching on economic growth and crisis, war and peace. Those of you here today will probably be glad to learn that the trend has been toward more succinct inaugural remarks, reduced dramatically from the 23-page, single-spaced address of our first territorial governor, Alexander Ramsey. And while the governors who have delivered these remarks, be they short or long, have varied widely in political persuasion, speaking style, and personality, a common theme shines through. Each had a strong commitment to and enthusiasm for Minnesota's future. At his 1907 inauguration, Governor John Johnson called on his fellow elected officials to strive to attain the highest ideals and reward the people who have demonstrated a special confidence in us by honest effort, which will make us worthy of the honors conferred upon us. 60 years later, in his first address to the legislature, Governor Harold Levander echoed these sentiments when he said, "Greatness is not measured in pomp and circumstance, but in the steadfast determination and total commitment to bearing mighty burdens." Clearly, the new generation, which in a few moments will take its place in the executive branch of Minnesota government, has a great Minnesota tradition of service and leadership upon which to build. Our most recent general election and this inauguration reinforce another important Minnesota tradition, that of citizen involvement. Governor-elect Ventura generated tremendous participation at the polls and new enthusiasm for the stake each of us has in government. We can all be grateful for the renewed vigor and involvement in our democratic process because, in the words of Thomas Jefferson, government is the strongest of which every man feels himself a part. And truly, we are all a part of this historic day and our state's future.